My name is Lindsay Holbrook-Lutz, and I am 40 years old. Today is June 27th, 2018, and I'm speaking with my mom, Cheryl Thompson, and we are in Sutherland, Oregon. It's the summertime, and I'm here visiting and thought this would be a great opportunity to talk to my mom and ask her some questions, specifically about me and raising me and about my dad. So my first question is to, I want to ask you to tell me the story of how you met my dad. His name, how did you meet
him?
Okay,
your dad's name was Kenneth Dell Holbrook. He was born September 5th, 1947. He passed away right before his 60th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I met him the winter of 1976 when I was working at Casey's Restaurant. I worked graveyard shift.
So you were saying you met my dad at Casey's Restaurant. Is that in Roseburg?
Yes, it's in Roseburg. I worked graveyard shift, and I happened to be working with this guy named Fritz. And I met Fritz's girlfriend. Her name was Donna Peckham. And anyway, Kenny came in after the bar closed one night and kept telling me I had beautiful legs, whatever. And he was, you know, pretty charming guy. And Fritz invited me to come over to him and Donna's house. And Donna invited me over to their place after work one morning. Fritz was going to cook breakfast. He made asparagus omelets. Your dad was there. We drank. We partied. Then I think the next morning, we partied till the next night. And I stayed with your dad up at Blythe at the little tiny motel up there. And
how
Idlewild.
Old were you, like 19?
I was 19, yes.
And so he was like
29.
Okay.
Yes. Half the year he was 10 years older than me, other half he was nine. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, and I spent the night with him and slept with him, and yeah.
How long were you together with my dad?
Well, okay, not shortly after that, we moved into an apartment behind the little market here in town, but going towards the high school, you know, that little market there?
AMPM.
Well, they were in the apartments behind there. They were brand new at the time. They were really nice. And we lived there for 5 or 6 months, something like that. And then we moved to Roseburg, and I found out I was pregnant because I was having really seriously bad morning sickness. And we were supposed to get married, but it didn't work out. And I moved up here to Sutherland in my own place. Well, I moved up here with my mom and dad. Then I got the place at Fairhaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a studio.
Why did you get split up?
Just because he was drinking all the time and I was pregnant and he was just too irresponsible for me. You know, I was like, I don't want to spend the rest of my life with him.
Yeah.
You know, I was, no.
Was he working?
Yeah, he was working at, in Green. There used to be a Roseburg Forest Products mill there that he worked at. And that was another thing. He lost his job there because he was drunk and on company property and fell into the pond. And
oh,
he
wow.
had to be rescued. Yeah, it was...
Oh, wow. He just wasn't being very responsible.
No.
So what was Donna and Fritz's relationship to him?
Well, Donna was his niece. And
Of his sister.
Yeah, he was...
The sister's name is?
Gwen.
Yeah,
Gwen.
Yeah.
Gwen was the oldest, and she had Donna, John, and Jimmy. Yeah, she had those three, Donna, John,
so
and Jimmy.
So, what can you tell me about my grandparents, my granny Holbrook?
Ludora and Lenny Holbrook.
Okay, well, I love. They lived in a teeny tiny house on.
I don't remember the name of the street, but it's right where the KFC's at.
Yeah, I know. I want to say.
Right off of Stewart Parkway. Yeah. In the freeway.
Well, it's on off Garden Valley.
Garden Valley. I'm
yeah,
sorry,
it's Garden off Garden Valley.
Yeah. So what can you tell me about my granny Holbrook?
Anyway, they lived in a teeny tiny house. I really liked Granny. She's this, like, not even, like, maybe 4 foot
ten,
yeah. Maybe.
Yep.
Little short thing, little short round person that was sweet and had a heart of gold. Your dad called her Big Six. I don't know why he called her Big Six. I really don't. Yeah, they just called her Big Six. I don't really know why. But anyway, your dad lived there with her when I first met him.
And my Grandpa Lenny.
And your Grandpa Lenny lived on a couch in the living room.
Yeah. Yeah, he was kind of bedridden.
And no, he would still get up and get around because he had a car,
okay.
This little Opel Cadet.
Carry on.
He had this little Opel Cadet that he would drive and drink and go to the liquor store and God only knows.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But my dad lived there with my granny.
Yeah. And then him and I lived together.
My granny had how many kids?
She had seven children, six girls, and your dad was the baby.
Yeah.
There was Gwen and Billy. Gwen, Billy.
So again, can you tell me who the seven kids were? Starting with the oldest.
Gwen, Billy, Linda.
There's twins.
Not yet. Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there were seven girls. Barbara, Johnny, Lonnie, and Brenda. Yeah, there was eight kids.
So, and I knew Johnny and Lonnie, the twins.
And Brenda.
I spent a lot of time with Brenda and my dad. Those were the ones that I knew.
Yeah, your Aunt Brenda. I loved her.
And Johnny and Lonnie passed away pretty young, right?
Maybe she was 50. Well, that's still young, but...
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was pretty young by the time I was around. Because my dad was, so he was 30 when I was born, basically.
Yeah,
30 when I was born. And you were 20.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I was little, one of the things that was always kind of funny to me is my Granny Holbrook used to love to make scrambled egg sandwiches with me and use Miracle Whip. And that's something I will always associate with her. And she would tell me all these stories about her pointer finger, because it was short. It had gotten cut off. And she would tell me all kinds of crazy stories, and I would never know the truth. And she had a garden out in the backyard, and we would grow the cucumber inside the jar, like
pickle
a Snapple
cucumbers.
Jar. Yeah. And then just add vinegar to it, and people would ask me, how'd you get the pickle in the jar? Because the pickle would be as big as the jar. It would grow inside of it, and it was just like her little trick. So I just thought it was crazy. It was funny. And I loved her long, long, long hair that she wore up in a bun.
Yes, she always wore it in a bun, yep.
Yeah, and it's funny because there's been a couple times throughout my life when I'd have like the smell that reminded me of her, of her lotion or whatever it was that she wore on her body. But yeah, she was a very loving, loving woman.
Oh, she has a big heart.
Loving woman.
I mean, she's like all heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a sweetie. People took advantage of her, though. That's sad.
So I'd like you to tell me about the day that I was born.
Thank you, Bob.
So again, I wanted to ask you about the time, or the day, I should say, that I was born. And tell me about that.
Okay. Well, I was living on Fairhaven in Roseburg. And, I didn't know when exactly I was going to have you. They gave me several different due dates. The furthest out was the 12th, but anyway, they tell you, like, when you have your show, which you lose your mucus plug, that means the baby's going to come pretty soon, and I did. So, I came over here to Sutherland to stay with my mom, so I would for sure have a way to the hospital, because I didn't have a vehicle, and Anyway, and I didn't want to take myself. Oh, I did. You have a vehicle. I just didn't want to take myself to the hospital.
Yeah.
Not when you're in labor. So anyway, I was staying at my mom's, and it was the evening of the 6th, and I went in the bedroom and sat down on the bed, and my water broke, or so I thought. It did break, but it didn't finish breaking all the way, but it just leaked. And so my mom called the doctor, and he said, just keep an eye on her labor pains, yada, yada. You know, you'll know when to bring her in, and he said, otherwise, just bring her in the morning, and we'll get her induced to get her going. So, I was up all night long having teeny tiny labor pains, and my mom would chuckle and go, oh, that's nothing. That's nothing. That's nothing. Okay. So anyway, we went in the morning to the hospital, and they checked me, and I hadn't dilated very much. Who knows how much? I don't remember. But anyway, so they gave me that pertussis to bring these little dissolvable tablets to put in my side of my mouth to dissolve. That was supposed to bring my labor faster. Well, it did, but I got sick. They made me nauseous. And they had all your little tray and cup and straw and this thing, and it was all wrapped in plastic, and I had to puke, and your grandma pushed her fist through it and held it under my face so I had somewhere to puke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I kept thinking I had to go to the bathroom, and I kept getting up to go to the bathroom. I wasn't thinking that, oh, the baby's coming. I just kept thinking I had to pee, and I wasn't peeing. I'm like, what the hell's the deal? And they came in and checked me, and oh, sure enough, you're far enough along, and they didn't have birthing rooms when you were born. So they took me to the delivery room, and I remember the doctor saying, oh, I'm Pearl Harbor Day, baby. And I was like, yeah, 12-7-7-7. And he said, okay, you need to push. And I pushed, and he said, we need one more big push. And I was like, seriously? So one more big push. And he said, nope, got to push one more. I said, no, you just said one more. I was going to argue with him. And he's just like, come on. So, yeah. And you were born. Your hair was like a little strawberryish blonde and very fine. And
I look like
you
a
were
little
beautiful
cupie,
and
like a
tiny.
Little
yeah,
doll.
You were just beautiful and tiny. And you were all there. And
what time was I born?
1:57, I think, was
in the afternoon.
Yeah, it was afternoon time. And your dad showed up sometime in the evening, and I was so bad because he was drunk.
Uh-oh.
Which was really depressing, and he left. And they let you have a dinner with somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my brother, Les, came and had my steak dinner with me after you were born. But yeah. And I was out of the hospital the next day or the day after. Maybe I stayed a couple days.
How did you feel the first time when you saw me? How did you react?
Right.
Bless you. Bless you. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Chet. So you cried.
Yeah, I cried because you're beautiful, and I couldn't believe I did that.
Yeah.
And
was Grandma with you when
yes.
you had me?
Oh, yeah. She was at the hospital with me the whole time. I said she punched her fist
yeah.
through that thing.
I just wasn't sure.
And I squeezed her hand. Oh, my God. She'd be on this side, and then she'd be on this side, and I'd squeeze that hand.
What did Grandma say when I was born?
Oh, she was tickled to death. Her first grandbaby. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Except it was kind of bittersweet because she had a baby at home. So
that was my Aunt Susan, who's a year, a month, and like 10 days older.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did, tell me about my name. Why did you choose my name?
Well, let's see. I like the name Lauren. You were going to be a Lauren, but your middle name was going to be Kay no matter what, because that's after my mom.
Barbara Kay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was either Lindsay or Lauren, and it's because Lindsay played the Bionic Woman.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay Wagner.
Yeah, Lindsay Wagner and Lindsay Greenbush. There was twins on Little House on the Prairie that played the littlest kid,
mm-hmm.
and one was Lindsay and one was Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked the name,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I couldn't decide. And I decided on Lindsay. Well, come, God, a year later, maybe a year and a half later, my aunt Ruth Bowen, she was a Welsh, which that was her married name, was Bowen. She sent me a check for $500 because I named you Lindsay, and it hadn't even dawned on me that, yeah, my Uncle Byron, my grandfather's brother, was Byron Lindsay, and my great-grandfather was John Lindsay. But it was spelled with an E,
mm-hmm.
S-E-Y, because that's the English spelling for a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow, that was cool.
And consequently, my grandpa Holbrook
was
Lenny,
L-I-N-N-I-E. And you had two Aunt Lindas, one on my side, one on your dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, I kind of hit a lot of...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And because
I've always liked my name. I've always thought it was a neat name, and it really did.
Well, and it's interesting because I meet a lot of girls named Lindsay, but none of them are your age. They're all younger.
Yeah.
Really.
And obviously, if I was a Lauren, then I don't think my sister Laura would be a
no.
Laura. You wouldn't have had a Lauren and a Laura.
No,
that
would have
been kind of funny.
That would
have
been too weird.
So my question next is, what was I like as a child?
Stubborn.
I don't think that's changed much.
I know it hasn't. You were massively stubborn. Somebody had given you a little, like, hotel bar soap
mm-hmm.
that you were playing with, and I said, yeah, and I was like, it's okay, you can play with it. You're probably a year and a half, maybe close to two.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, but don't you write on the walls or, you know, or anything. And I'll be damned, you were writing on the sliding glass door, and I took it away from you and chucked it way over a fence, way over in another yard. You had the most complete, utter meltdown ever. You screamed bloody murder, threw yourself on the floor, kicked your feet, I picked you up, I tried to splash water in your face with my fingertips. I held you upside down. I was trying to do anything to get you to stop screaming.
And
you
were
horrid.
Did I basically just have to wear myself
out? Yeah, you had to wear yourself
out. I was horrid that one time.
There were several others. That's
so you're saying I was an awful child?
No, you weren't awful. You were just so stubborn. You didn't give an inch on anything. It was like,
but was I smart?
Oh, you were very smart.
Independent.
Yes. And I love that about you. I could do a lot of things. I mean, I could trust you to sit in the living room and watch television with your gang and eat cereal for breakfast and, you know, watch Sesame Street. Yeah, you were very good about, except the one time you decided to cut your hair. But
I needed a fringe. I needed
bangs.
I guess. Like bangs.
You didn't get bangs. You cut your hair down to your scalp.
Yeah.
You scalped yourself.
What was I like as a teenager?
A brat. A snob. Oh, my God. What did I do? Puke all over myself?
Mom. So, back to talking. I just had to pause it for a second because my mom had a sneeze with some stuff on it. So, anyways... we're talking about me as a teenager, and she's saying that I was, what? Please try to speak kindly about me, because I actually wasn't, like, a problematic kid.
Like when you wrote whatever that boy's name was all over everything, inside my glove box, inside... You had this
I wasn't a teenager at that time.
I know.
I was like 9 years old.
Fifth grade? Fourth grade?
It was before then. It was third grade. Mm. It was third grade. I'm talking about when I was a teenager, Mom. Teenager.
Okay.
Like junior high,
well,
high school.
Independent, stubborn, didn't want to be included in the family stuff. I don't know. You
didn't
want to
be? What are you talking about?
You just
because I was always doing family stuff. I was always babysitting my sister
not
and brother.
Not that kind of... No, you weren't always. No, you weren't always.
I disagree with you on that one. Pretty,
you
pretty bigly.
Always.
Mm-hmm, pretty big. I do.
When you were a teenager?
Yes, until I got a job, I was babysitting every weekend and all summer. All the time, watching Lauren David.
But not 7 days a week.
But I was taking care of them.
And not
quite a bit,
24
getting
hours
ready for
a day.
School every morning, off to the bus. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Trust me.
Yeah,
I remember.
But I spent a lot of time with family responsibilities.
But
who was raising you guys? And who was paying the bills? And who was working?
The person that should be? The
me.
Mom? Yeah.
But
my point
saying,
is
I had a responsibility.
I'm asking you questions about... We also have another slight distraction here, and that's my nephew, Doug, who's not getting all the attention, so is being a little ornery. So I think he runs in the, it runs in the family
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it does.
But what was I like as a teenager? Talk
driven
about
and
positive
and,
stuff.
Okay, you were driven and involved in school a lot, and I was very proud of you. I went, contrary to what you think, I loved going to your sporting things and your music events, and I went to all every single one I could get to. I went to. I went to them until you told me I wasn't welcome there anymore, that you didn't want me there. I went to them, but yeah, you were just driven and did really great in school. I was proud of you. I bragged on you all the time. Heavens to Murgatory.
Yeah, but as a teenager, I wasn't getting into trouble. I wasn't doing drugs, I wasn't drinking, wasn't stealing.
No.
I was actually doing really good things.
No, I know you were.
I was pretty independent and trying to focus a lot on school.
I know.
So I could get to college.
You were doing the stuff that I wished I could have done. Mm. Yeah, because when I was going to high school, girls weren't expected to go to college. You know that? I mean, we were not encouraged like the guys were. And we were not... Nobody spoke to us in the beginning of high school about scholarships and about doing... They didn't talk about it. It was never... I never had heard of such a thing, you know?
And I would even say within our family, no one really ever encouraged me to go to college. No one ever said that should be a priority.
No, but I mean at school.
I'm saying in our home, I don't even think that was a priority. But for me in school... It definitely was a message that I got from my peers and I got from my teachers.
But see, I didn't get any of that growing up.
At home.
We never, but no, I never even, I'm saying in school it was not.
So I was the first generation in our family to go to a 4-year college and graduate, which is still kind of a big deal.
Yes, it is. Okay.
Yeah. So
and
my
now Zachary has got his his bachelor's degree in engineering.
Yeah, from a technical school.
Mm-hmm.
Not from a, from a technical school.
But it's still a college.
Yeah, but it's a technical school. Yeah. It's a little bit different. But yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying like a traditional public or like a liberal arts college, I was the first person. Then now Aunt Susan also has a degree from the University of Oregon. But that came much, much later. So can you tell me one of your happiest memories of me?
Oh, I have a lot, Lindsay. I mean, I've enjoyed it when it was just you and me. I mean, I totally got why you were kind of jealous of your brother and sister, because here comes these people that, I mean, it was bad enough a guy took up my time, but here comes these two little people that take up all my time. I mean, I totally understood that, and I'm pretty sure that was another reason why you wanted to get involved in other stuff. Because you weren't getting the attention at home.
And I was the only kid for about 10 years.
Yeah, I know.
5.5 years.
Yeah, I know.
And I got a lot of attention from grandparents.
Yeah.
And then when Lauren David came along, too, there were other cousins, too, at that point. But, yeah.
I know.
But a happy memory. Why that time alone? What did we do?
Well, it was just you and me, and we did things just you and me. You know, before Wayne, it was good, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
You know, I have so many weird, like, memories and things that pop up.
Are you going to answer him?
No, because we're in the middle of a conversation, so and I can't pause this, and I'm not going to pause this. So, but about, like, us, for example, we went to the drive-in movie theater here. And I remember sitting in the back of the truck, or like a car with like a truck thing, and with like a beanbag chair, and we watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love that. Like, those kind of things always were really interesting to me. And I always felt like I was allowed to like just adventure a lot, like go outside and play and roam and be free. And that was always super important to me.
I trusted you. You were a very trustworthy child. I mean...
Yeah. Well, I said I was going to go somewhere, that's where I went. I never tried to, like, manipulate that and, like, lie and get away with stuff. It just wasn't a priority to me.
No, you weren't sneaky, but I know you did stuff I don't know about.
Is there any specific, like, birthday that stands out to you or anything that...
The one birthday that I gave to you, the birthday party I gave to you when we lived on cruise. The Halloween party, actually.
Oh, the Halloween party. Yeah. I was in what grade? Like,
fifth grade?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember everybody that came over, and
it was just
fun. We bought for apples, and we got dressed up, and we played all kinds of games. That was a lot of fun.
It was fun. I had a blast doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could have done it more.
Yeah.
If I had it, would have had the right man in my life, I might have been able to do it more. But,
but that was fun.
Yeah.
That was a good
one. And I really enjoyed it. I was like, I want to do this more, and I never got to.
Yeah. My next question is, can you tell me about one of your least happy memories of me? And keep it brief.
Well, a haircut incident.
How old was I and what happened?
Oh, God. It was before we went to Texas. You would have been almost three?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you were three. Going on four. I don't know. I can't remember exactly. But I just knew I was working graveyard. And I had come home. Shelly had, you stayed at Shelly's the night. I brought you home. I gave you your snacks and stuff. And I told you I just wanted to lay down for a little while. And I'd done this a million times with you. You'd always been well behaved. I don't know exactly where you got the scissors from.
We were living at the Sunset apartment.
Yes, we were.
I got them on top of the fridge.
I remember sitting in front of the TV
and I chopped my hair, and I just kept chopping my hair, and then I remember walking in and saying, Mommy, look!
Mommy, my hair.
Yeah.
All you said was my hair. And I'm half asleep, and I'm going, what? And I'm like, where did you get this hair? I couldn't tell because my vision hadn't kicked in yet. Mm. And then I was like, oh my God, what the hell did you do? Shelly was a beautician. I took you down there. She didn't know what to do with your hair.
You cried.
Yeah, I cried because I was like, my little girl with the blonde curls. The blonde curls.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, with a big chunk missing on the front of your top of your head.
Mm.
It was horrid.
My next question.
You looked bad for a year at least. Because your hair didn't grow fast.
And I don't have any pictures of that, so I can't.
Yeah,
really.
You do. Nope, the pictures of you with that brown little dress with the red.
That was a haircut. Because I had sharp bangs. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yes, that's proof. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's when I finally was brave enough to have your picture taken.
Oh, golly.
Yeah.
So how has being a parent changed you?
Not made me think out of other people besides myself. When you become a parent, you should become less selfish. You
mm-hmm.
should care about more about other people because it's not about you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when you're not a parent and you're just, you know, it's about you and what you want, especially when you're young. I mean, as you get older, those things change too. But when you have kids, the first thing, and I mean, most women, there's some women that don't have that gene,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you automatically start thinking of someone else besides yourself, even men, too, that are, you know, more responsible. They look at it like, oh, wow, now I'm responsible mm-hmm. for this and molding this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I always like that poem, you learn
that's
what,
enough.
You, learn
that's
what
enough.
You live.
Outside.
You learn what you live.
Outside.
And I always loved that poem. It made me cry. You do learn what you live.
Mm.
You know?
Do you, do you think about your kids as being like your, like, life's accomplishment is raising your kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Can you sing me a song you used to sing me as a baby?
Oh, God. I don't know. Your dad kind of sang this, and I don't know the words to it all, but it was something about, it's a nursery rhyme about something, bio baby bunting, daddy's gone a-hunting for to catch a rabbit skin to wrap his baby bunting in.
Wow, you remembered it.
I don't know if that's exactly right, but it's close.
Was there any songs you sang to me?
No, but it was, I would repeat that one. Mm. And then the Tom Thinker, Eye Winker, Nose Smeller, Mouth Eater, Chin Chomper, Giddy Giddy Giddy. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I loved that. Your dad taught me that. Yeah.
I forgot about that. That's
crazy. Your dad taught me that.
And what were some of the nicknames that I was given as a kid?
Okay, the biggest one, because you had this little rubber Cupid doll.
I still have it.
Okay.
I kept it.
And that was your Poo.
Yeah.
Your dad named that doll Poo and named you Poo.
Uh-huh.
And he called you Pooper Baby. And I said, no, not Pooper, just Poo. Just Poo, you know, like Pooh Bear, not Pooper. I said, I don't want to call her Pooper. And I like David called you Winnie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And my grandma Barbara called me
Pooh.
Lynn Pooh.
Lynn Pooh, yeah.
Everything was Lynn Pooh.
Yeah.
My whole life. Every card she wrote was Lynn Pooh. Yeah. Was there any other stories you used to tell me as a kid or that I really liked?
Gosh, Lindsay, I don't remember.
Any books that were, like, my favorite?
No, because I don't remember reading to you a whole lot. Because we didn't have a lot of books.
Yeah.
But when I could, I'd read nursery rhymes. I loved nursery rhymes.
Was there any in particular that I liked?
I don't remember.
Yeah. What kind of cartoons did I love?
Oh, God. Fraggle Rock, Fraggle Rock, Fraggle Rock, Fraggle Rock. God.
Uh-huh. And what about TV shows?
Fraggle Rock.
What else was I obsessed with?
H.R. Puff and Snuff. Was that it? H.R. Puff and Snuff.
I don't really remember that, but I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. You liked that one.
And what was my favorite movie as a kid to watch?
As a kid?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's a movie you took me to see that terrified me?
Oh, E.T.
Yeah, and what did I do? How did I respond? Because that came out in 1982, so I was like 4.
Yeah, I know. You were.
So how did I
went
respond
to the movie
at the theater?
Oh, you were scared. And I get it now, because at the time I was like, but now when I watch it again, the very first of it's very dark.
Yeah.
And all
it's
that.
Not so much of a kid's movie
all that,
either.
Well, the rest of it kind of is.
Yeah.
At the beginning of it's kind of dark and kind of scary because those guys are hunting the alien.
Yeah.
And the alien screams.
Yes, and it is terrible.
And all the chains, and I could see a small child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was a great big giant scream.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's scary too. Yeah.
What are your wishes for me for the rest of my days, my life, I guess?
That you
what
just remain happy. Mm. Yeah, that you're just happy, contented, and healthy.
Do you have any happy moments you want to share about us that we shared together?
I wish I'd have thought about this more before you asked me.
Mom.
Thank you. Grandma's.
Any happy moments?
Oh, can you ask me that tomorrow and I'll think about it, or ask me in a half an hour? I'll think about it.
Who was the love of your life?
My dad.
Mm.
My real dad.
Name?
Donald Ray Lester.
And why was he the love of your life?
Because he was the first man I looked up to and I adored and worshipped.
Mm.
And I kind of lost that for 16 years of my life. And it was just sad, you know? And it made it even more sad because my great-grandmother would tell me that he was mean to me. And my son's 6 years old. And I'm like, no, he wasn't. And she's, yes, he was. He used to slap your cheeks to make them red. And I was like, no, he didn't. No, yeah. He didn't. You think I would remember this?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Did Grandma Barbara talk positively about him?
She wouldn't talk about him at all.
Yeah.
And when I was 11 years old, I found all these pictures she'd thrown away in the garbage of my dad and me, and of my dad and me and her. And she'd thrown them in the garbage. Well, I dug them out of the garbage and hid them in my room. Mm-hmm. And she found them and she burned them. And the last few years of her life, she told me she was sorry she'd done that.
Why did she do that?
I think she just was trying to cut out that part of her life, you know. And I don't know.
Do you know why they split up?
Oh, God, they were young, immature, had two children. They both cheated on each other. So, and they were drinking and partying. And they were young. I mean, she was 18. They were both 18 when they got married.
What is your best advice for raising kids? Knowing that you've raised three and now you have a grandbaby
just
living in
your
home.
Don't have any. No,
why?
Why? Because of the way the world is today. And, yeah, just the shape of the world. And
that's not advice
are,
for raising
I know, but,
kids.
But things
for raising
are too,
kids.
I know, things are too uncertain to me. You know, the future is very bleak looking, if you ask me. I hate to sound, you know.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah, but they just aren't.
Yeah.
They just don't feel right. They don't feel stable to me at all. I mean, we've always had...
But that's not the question. The question is what is your advice for raising them?
Just love them.
I think
always
that's a lot
make
better
sure you
than
love
they
them.
Don't have them. Love them. Love them like crazy.
Yeah, love them like crazy.
Even when they don't always love you back, right?
Even when they're not lovable.
Yeah, and even when they don't love you back. Well, thank you, Mom. This concludes our second interview, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mama.
Went and got another one, huh?
Yeah,
I can count, Jesse.
Bill.